week and a half into Donald Trump's new term as President of the United States, and already he is opening a huge concentration camp at Guantanamo Bay. Trump has signed a law that forces all non-citizens to be taken away to Homeland Security prison camps if they have merely been accused of a crime. Pete Hegseth, who has called for the murder of all Muslims and wants to make the United States a Christian theocracy, has been confirmed as Secretary of Defense. Donald Trump is taking a wrecking ball to scientific and medical research and is issuing executive orders forcing public schools to teach a false version of American history. Across the U.S. federal government, career civil servants are being fired and replaced with people who have few professional qualifications other than absolute loyalty to Donald Trump. At the center of the chaos and destruction from Donald Trump is the ideology of Christian nationalism, a belief system that rejects the validity of objective reality and demands that everybody and everything in the United States submit to a draconian version of Christianity. Some Americans, they have a difficult time understanding the relationship between fascist political power and Christian nationalism. They think of Christianity as something meek and mild, set apart from the crude manner and ruthless agenda of Donald Trump. In holding this version of what counts as Christianity, hopeful liberals ignore what Christianity has come to mean for most American Christians. They pretend that Christian nationalists are somehow fake Christians, even though the majority of American Christians now ascribe to the ideology of Christian nationalism, and they voted for Donald Trump in 2024 on the basis of that ideology. While Christianity as a whole is on the decline in the United States, the ranks of American Christian nationalists are rapidly growing. The ideological roots of Trump's fascism in Christian nationalism are clear to see if you care to look for them. The religious nature of Donald Trump's new fascist hold on power were made clear at the 2025 inauguration. At the height of the inauguration ceremony, Christian preacher Lorenzo Sewell delivered a prayer claiming that Donald Trump was chosen by the Christian God to be President of the United States. Sewell said this:
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you gave our 45th and now our 47th president a millimeter miracle. We are grateful that you are the one that have called him for such a time as this.
This was not the first time Lorenzo Sewell had performed for Donald Trump. It wasn't the first time that Lorenzo Sewell told a national audience that Donald Trump is a magically selected prophet of the Christian God. Last summer at the Republican National Convention, Sewell told an auditorium of wealthy Republican elites this:
Come on, if you believe that Jesus still changed lives, come on, put your hands together and give our great God great glory. I believe that prayer is preventative and prayer is proactive. I believe that praying in the name of Jesus changes everything. And when we pray for President Trump, only God knew that 30 days later, there would be a miracle by a millimeter. Only God knew that if we prayed for him during his birthday, there would be a miracle by a millimeter. If President Trump had moved 1 millimeter, He wouldn't have been here on Monday to talk to us about how America was going to be made wealthy again. Before I take my seat, I just gotta talk to you about something called providence and something called sovereignty. God's sovereignty is his ability to be able to do what he wants when he wants because he's God. And God's providence, it's when he does what he wants, when he wants for all of you. Did you know that President Trump was shot on 6/11? And do you know that Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 11 says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. To all my Democrat friends, I want to ask you one question. Do you know anybody that was the 45th president? He was convicted of 34 accounts. He raised $53 million in 24 hours and could be the 47th president of the United States in America. And he was shot one time. Do you know anybody like that? To all my friends back in Detroit who are Democrats, I want to ask you just one simple question. You can't deny the power of God on this man's life. You can't deny that God protected him. You cannot deny that it was a millimeter miracle that was able to save this man's life. Could it be that Jesus Christ preserved him for such a time as this? Could it be? That Jesus asked and he received, that we sought him and then he found protection. Could it be that the King of Glory, the Lord God strong and mighty, the God who is mighty in battle, protected Donald Trump because he wants to use him for such a time as this? If you believe that, come on, put your hands together.
If you're listening closely, you have noticed a phrase that Lorenzo Sewell used at both Trump's inauguration and at the 2024 Republican National Convention. It's for a time such as this. For a time such as this. Sewell preached last summer that, quote, the God who is mighty in battle chose Donald Trump for a time such as this, and then repeated that assertion at the inauguration last week. It's a strange phrase because it's rooted in the archaic language of the Christian Bible. When Christian nationalist preachers use the phrase for a time such as this, they are making a reference to a specific passage in the Bible. Specifically, this phrase is used as a reference to the belief that Christianity has a rightful claim to totalitarian political power, and that violence is an acceptable tool to achieve Christian political domination. The phrase, for a time such as this, appears only once in the Bible, and that is in the book of Esther. It is spoken at the dramatic peak of that book, as Mordecai tells Esther that she has been placed through the magical powers of the god Jehovah in the court of the Persian king for no other purpose than to enact Jehovah's political will. Esther refused to bow down before the king of Persia, as everyone in Persia was expected to do. Esther claimed that she could not submit to any other power than the power of the god Jehovah. And that defiance resulted in a power struggle in the Persian capital, with Persian Jews on the one side and the Persian political bureaucracy on the other. When Esther was told that she had been placed by Jehovah as a queen of the Persian king for such a time as this, she took it as an instruction to seize political power through a campaign of extreme violence in the name of her God. The followers of Esther hunted down their enemies and, quote, struck down all their enemies with the sword, killing and destroying them, and they did what they pleased to those who hated them, unquote. Yeah, that's a line from the Bible, from the book of Esther. It's pretty violent. It gets worse. Queen Esther then had the 10 sons of her most prominent political opponent impaled on long poles and put in the square of the palace like that. Following her example, political violence spread across Persia, and Esther's followers killed 75,000 more people, securing Esther's political power through a huge bloodbath. That's according to the Bible itself. So this is a story told that's supposed to make Esther look good. The lesson that Christian nationalists take from this Bible story is that their God should have control over government on earth. To them, the story of the murderous rampage of Esther shows that bureaucrats in power should recognize the authority of the God of their Bible, and that if people refuse to submit, they can be righteously killed in the name of Christianity. Now, in liberal Christian churches, everybody skips over this story. Everyone just pretends that it doesn't exist, or they whitewash it, saying that it's a story in which Esther defies unjust persecution. No reasonable defiance of persecution can be said to include the public impaling of the sons of your political opponent, or a national campaign of political violence that results in the deaths of more than 75,000 people. Progressive Christians just pretend that this doesn't happen in the Bible. They avert their gaze from the story of Esther. They just say, well, God is love. Christian nationalist churches don't look away from this story. They don't avert their eyes from the book of Esther. Their preachers use the story of Esther to teach congregants from the time that they are young children that people who refuse to submit to the God of the Bible should fear his wrath. They draw a narrative arc from the book of Esther to the book of Revelation, promising that one day the armies of God, with Jesus returned to earth at the forefront of them, will slaughter everybody who refuses to join in with Jesus. Liberal Christians have the right to define their own religious ideology, of course. They can, and they do, speak out against Christian nationalism. It just isn't valid for them, however, to claim that Christian nationalism is not true Christianity, and that Christian nationalists are just fake Christians. Christian nationalists are Christians. They're a different kind of Christian. They take their hateful, violent ideology straight from the Christian Bible, from the many parts of the Bible, like the book of Esther, but not at all limited to that, that celebrate political violence. It's because of their Christianity, not in spite of it, that Christian nationalists are violent and hateful. Just days before, Christian nationalists attacked the United States Congress on January 6, 2021. Doug Mastriano led an online meeting to help organize that attack. Mastriano offered a prayer during that meeting in which he cited the violence of the Book of Esther as an example of what should take place on January 6th. Mastriano prayed for a violent revolution in that model of Esther, and here's what he said.
God, we come before you in Jesus' name, and God, I ask you that you help us roll in these dark times, that we fear not the darkness, that we will seize our Esther and Gideon moments, that we will stand in a gap, that when you say, who shall I send? We will say, send me. I know we're surrounded by wickedness and fear and dithering and inaction, but that's not our problem. Our problem is following your lead. God, you're calling forth modern-day Esthers and Gideons, and I pray that you'll give us the courage to do so. Think about our elected officials in Pennsylvania who've been weak and feckless. I pray that we'll take responsibility. We'll seize the power.
The violent insurrection of January 6, 2021 was the Bible's book of Esther in action in our politics. And now, 4 years later, Donald Trump has brought the Christian nationalist ideology from the book of Esther into the White House itself. Lorenzo Sewell's declaration that the Christian God has chosen Donald Trump to be like Queen Esther for such a time as this is an expression of that. Sewell's choice to repeatedly invoke this phrase from the book of Esther, for such a time as this, is a dog whistle to Christian nationalists. Most people who are not Christian nationalists, people who have not grown up in Christian nationalist churches that teach the book of Esther, they don't have any idea where this phrase comes from. They hear it and they think it's just a flamboyant way for a speaker to talk about the present moment. They don't have any clue how this biblical phrase invokes and encourages ruthless, violent political purges. Christian nationalists, however, know this part of the Bible. They know exactly what it means to be called forth as modern-day Esthers. Lorenzo Sewell chose this phrase on purpose, and Donald Trump approved it. That choice ought to raise alarm bells, but most Americans, including many liberal Americans, don't perceive the threat that has been made because it's been made using the language of Christianity. Now, of course, to be fair, Christian nationalism is about a whole lot more than just the righteous call to political violence. Christian nationalism is also a tool that unscrupulous Christian preachers use to enrich themselves through financial schemes and scams. And, you know, this podcast, just a few weeks ago, covered the cryptocurrency scam through which the Christian preacher Francier Obando Pinillo cheated members of his church in Washington State out of $5.9 million. And now it seems that Lorenzo Sewell, the very same Christian preacher who endorsed Donald Trump at the 2024 Republican National Convention and then prayed for Donald Trump to be violent like Esther at this year's inauguration, used the attention he got through his connection with Donald Trump to run a cryptocurrency scam of his own. At the height of the MAGA attention to his performance at the Trump inauguration, Lorenzo Sewell announced the creation of a meme coin, the official Lorenzo meme coin, available for sale on a range of cryptocurrency-adjacent marketplaces online. And supporters of Donald Trump rushed in to invest in that Lorenzo meme coin. So what were people investing in when they bought that meme coin? What was the actual business value of the Lorenzo meme coin? Well, of course, there was no concrete value behind the Lorenzo meme coin at all. There was nothing of substance for investors in Lorenzo Sewell's meme coin other than the irrational belief that it was worth something because Lorenzo Sewell said that it was worth something. There was no evidence that the official Lorenzo meme coin had any worth. There was no rational plan for the meme coin going forward other than blind faith. Christian nationalists showed the true value of their blind faith, rushing in to buy that official Lorenzo meme coin. They bought more than 30 million of the meme coins in 2 days of trading. And then, suddenly, just as the price of Lorenzo Sewell's meme coin seemed to be going to the moon, it crashed. It was a classic pump-and-dump scheme in which the price was artificially pumped up so that the insiders could then sell their meme coins, dump them on the marketplace. Those insiders in Lorenzo Sewell's pump-and-dump scheme ran off with over $500,000. And the Christian nationalist dupes who bought that meme coin without knowledge of how the inside trading behind it all was gonna work? Well, they lost all of their money. Today, the official Lorenzo meme coin is selling for the price of 0.002. A total of 5 of those meme coins have been sold today. All of a sudden, no one is buying. A lot of people are stuck with a meme coin that is worth only a tiny percentage of what they paid for it. And as is the case with all meme coins, there is no practical use of the Lorenzo Sewell meme coin. It's now financially worthless. It was a scam from the start. It was an illegal trade in an unregulated security. And that is against the law. But of course, Lorenzo Sewell is not going to be held accountable for this meme coin scam. Donald Trump's new fascist government is on the side of cryptocurrency and meme coin scanners. He's one of their allies. He's not going to regulate them. There will be no accountability. The followers of Donald Trump, Christian nationalism's modern-day Esters, are being allowed to run wild. The Bible stories that fuel Christian nationalism are not real, but the consequences of them are. People are getting hurt. Christian nationalism is becoming the dominant form of American Christianity, and that is a real problem that we all need to confront.